This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Keith, you ready for a split squad show?
Of course I'm ready for a split squad show, Jones.
If you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, Rich Keefe in the Dragon's Lair.
That's right. Monitoring a sick child once again. We just can't shake this. It is unbelievable. It's like 1 week on, 1 week off, 1 week on, 1 week off. I'm losing my mind.
How old is CeCe?
Five.
Okay, so Lucas had this. He's seven in May. And so, yeah, maybe a year or two ago, we had a winter like this where it was just like,
was it kindergarten?
It might be what it is. Kindergarten might be it.
Well, it's that combined with we have gone to, in the last 2 months, maybe six or seven birthday parties.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And each one is at a bounce trampolinium, which is more like German fested than the last.
And so it's like Greg, bro.
Yeah, no doubt. She's pretty popular, fellas. She goes to a lot of birthday parties. And so, like, you just see him in, like, a bounce house into, like, a ball pit into, like, into a trampoline.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is going on here?
And that's just all. If the room raiders could see it, it's just mucus everywhere and just disgusting amounts of things everywhere.
Oh, then we're in the car on the way home, and she's like, oh, like, my friend said she had a sore throat. I'm like, I bet she did. Like, this is going to be... I'm like, all right, so we're 2 days out from that happening. And so, yeah, she's just been rocking a fever for a while. So
nice.
I was like, all right.
Yeah, so it's like week on, then they get better, then 2 weeks later they feel like crap.
Brutal.
Okay, well, Keith in the Dragon's Lair today, but Jones and Keith still running as normal. 617-779-7937. You can dial us up there on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keith. We'll start unveiling the Jones and Keith bracket, the different matchups today. We have it fully seated. We're going to start with some 116 matchups today in various sports, so stay tuned to Jones and Keith for that on Twitter specifically. You can watch twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can see Keith at home there. You can chat as well on Twitch. Always a healthy conversation on Twitch and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Real quick, before we dive into what I thought was an interesting list. We like lists on this show, Keith.
Sure we do.
And where the Patriots came in as the kingmakers in free agency. You hear Ian Rappaport there right off the top. DK Metcalf demanded a trade yesterday in Seattle, as we found out. It sounds like there's quite a few teams interested, including the New England Patriots. He said, quote-unquote, the Patriots are always in the mix, which I thought was interesting phrasing based on some of their signing. But okay, he name-checked them along with the Raiders and Pete Carroll, along with the Texans, along with the Chargers, who I guess his former wide receiver coach is now with the Chargers as well. So it sounds like the Patriots are in. Your girl, Diana Rossini, Keith.
That's right.
Earlier today, I'm not sure if you saw these.
What does she have?
The Seahawks are seeking a first and third round pick for wide receiver DK Metcalf, per sources. Metcalf is also eyeing a new contract worth around $30 million per year.
No way.
Multiple teams have inquired. My girl, by the way, Josina Anderson, and I had to have this tweet relayed to me. Yeah. Since I am blocked by Josina Anderson. She said,
good block, Josina. Good job.
I'm told there's a team. See, there's ways to get around this. I'm told there's a team willing to get at least a third round pick or give at least the third round pick for Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf. Maybe the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but the Patriots being linked for a first and a third, at least the third when it comes to Metcalf. What do you think the market is and how in do you think the Patriots are?
I love how wild the difference is there. It's like a first and a third. It's like, we'll give you a third. It's like, what? Like, if you're asking for a first, I would think you're not going to settle for a third. So right there, there's a huge discrepancy. I think the Patriots, it's a non-starter with their first-round pick.
Right, Number four overall. I said I'd do it for A.J. Brown. I'm not doing it for Metcalf.
I think maybe if you're looking at some of the teams in the 20s, they're like, hey, we'll just give you this pick. We're not going to also throw in a third, and that might be more fair value. I wonder if Seattle would entertain the Patriots' third, or they have two third-round picks, so maybe their higher third-round pick and next year's one, and then that way you're sort of banking on yourself, being like, hey, we're going to make a big leap forward where next year's one is hopefully in the teens, maybe even in the 20s if we have a really good season. You're not giving up the number four pick, so if they are willing to wait a year for the number one pick, and maybe nobody else is willing to do that, like, is that something? I know you love Metcalf, so is that something you would do? Would you trade next year's one?
Yeah, I would trade next year's one. I would try to get creative if you wanted to, like, I don't know, and this would take some maneuvering, but we've seen teams like the Eagles do this in the past, a series of trades. You can get done what you want to get done. So I would move down from four, acquire a future first, and maybe try to do it that way as well. You know, there could be ways to get extra draft capital. But, yeah, I'd be more likely to trade a future one, which you would hope would be in the teens or 20s, than number four overall for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know what the appetite will be if there's going to be teams around the league that are willing to trade a number one pick right now for DK Metcalf. T. Higgins is sort of in the same boat. Then you also now have like an influx of wide receivers who are free agents. Now, they're older. Those guys are available for a reason. They're not worth a number one pick. But it was sort of like we hit on this a little bit yesterday. So Devontae Adams, the Jets feel like we can get nothing for. And then the Seahawks are like, we can get a one and a three for Metcalf? Like, Metcalf has more prime years left in him than Adams does. But is it that big of a gap? Yeah, maybe they won't get the number one picks that they expect, and maybe the Patriots come in with number, what was it, 38 overall, which is their second round pick. That's a pretty good pick. I'd be willing to do that. Would you trade number 38 straight up for Metcalf?
Yeah, 38 to me is probably what it's going to take. I mean, again, if they want a first and a third, according to your girl, then maybe you got to throw in another later pick, a future fourth rounder or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, the gist of the trade would be 38 for DK Metcalf, and you got to give him a new deal. Yes, I would do that.
All right, spitballing here. We're throwing out some hypotheticals for you, but talking about Seattle. Seattle in the first round has the 18th pick. Would you flip 4 and 18 and get Metcalf?
Yeah, that's a good one. Because
I think that's fair.
Me too, because I already said, yeah, I'd drop down in the first round to try to acquire future assets to trade for Metcalf. So, yeah, something like that, sure. And 18 might be too far down. Like, we've talked about this before. How far would you trade down? I said, like, 10.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you'd also be getting Metcalf and the 18th pick. Yeah, I like that trade.
Because I think if I'm in our other talk about trading down, it was more for like extra picks and who's available. I know you like Genty and Warren. I was thinking if you're getting a starting left tackle later, that's fine. Don't take him at 4. But if you're sitting at 18, who knows what's there? You still have the opportunity to trade up if you want, and you're bringing in a stud wide receiver. I'm in on that. Let me ask you this other thing, though, with DK Metcalf.
Sure.
Is, you know, everybody's bringing this up, the interview he did or the podcast he did with Katie Nolan, where he just kind of, like, dumped all over New England. Now, he's not a free agent, so he doesn't have a no-trade clause, so you can get him, but do you think there'd be any hesitancy for him to, you know, kick and scream about it or maybe not want to sign an extension? Like, I wonder how much of the him not playing in New England bothers you?
I mean, I guess on some level, I'm like, if it's a tiebreaker with another team and the money's the same, then you got to up the offer a little bit. But I'm not concerned about that. I mean, how many athletes have we seen over the years say they're not going to come to Boston, then they come to Boston?
Yeah.
So it could be a leverage play. It could be a negotiating ploy. He could really mean it. But then when they slap the money in front of him and he gets the contract he wants, he goes, whatever, I'll go there. So, I mean, honestly, to me, I think people are making way too big a deal of that. It's the same idea with Devontae Adams. We talked about this yesterday. He wants to, quote-unquote, play on the West Coast. Well, yeah, that might be what he wants. If you throw $65 million guaranteed in him, in front of him, he's going to go wherever he wants, wherever you want him to go, I think. So I don't put a ton of stock in that. I guess, again, as a tiebreaker somewhere down the list, it may be there, but I don't hear DK Metcalf doesn't want to play in New England. There's no way to get him. Give up the best pick to Seattle. He doesn't have much of a choice, and pay him the most money. I think he'll be content here.
And I would assume Seattle's just going to take the very best deal. Like, I don't think they're going to say, well, these two are close. Like, DK, you can pick it. Like, I think if the Patriots kind of overwhelm Seattle, they can get him. And then if they overwhelm DK Metcalf, I think he'll resign. So I'm with you. Like, I know a lot of people are quick to point that out. They're like, oh, this guy doesn't want to be here. It's like, well, really not entirely up to him.
Right.
And then if he's the highest paid wide receiver and you're like, oh, Drake May's a real quarterback, Mike Vrabel looks like a real head coach, I'm the number one receiver, you're going to pay me as such and throw me the ball, like the whole compensation opportunity thing that Vrabel was talking about, you could check both those boxes here.
Yeah, and so I think if you're negotiating against the Raiders and the Chargers and the Texans, that's not a terrible place to be for the Patriots. So DK Metcalf for a first and a third, let's maybe split the difference, call that a pick swap, as Keith said, 4 and 18. Call it pick 38 for DK Metcalf, because I imagine the Russini report is from the Seattle side. Maybe Josina Anderson has a report from some of the teams negotiating side. Anderson seems low. Russini seems high. So split the difference and call it pick 38. Would you do that for DK Metcalf? I would. 617-779-7937. Russini also had this one, Keith. Multiple teams have contacted the Bengals about the availability of T. Higgins after Cincinnati placed the franchise tag on him on Monday. They've been told the receiver remains unavailable as the Bengals continue to pursue a long-term deal. Are you buying that he's a Bengal and teams won't be able to trade for him?
I honestly don't. Until T. Higgins is lining up week one, catching passes from Burrow, I won't believe it. They're just too cheap of an organization. They haven't paid Chase yet. Chase is going to have – the only way Chase will sign is if he's the highest-paid receiver of all time. And then do you think they're really going to follow that up with another mega deal? Not only that, I think they're going to look at how much...
But they don't have to do it with a mega deal. They could just do it with the second franchise tag, right?
No. Right. For one more year, they could. But I think when they look at that, they're like, oh, my God, that's a ton of guaranteed money. It's only one season.
That's true.
But when they look at the books for 2025, they're going to say, is this really something we can do? And if teams are willing to trade for him, and they can maybe try to find the next T. Higgins in the draft, I still think that's what they're ultimately going to do.
Okay, so T. Higgins may be available, maybe not available. Again, that's Diana Russini. You can jump in at 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Yahoo Sports ranked the most interesting teams heading into free agency. Okay,
I said it was interesting.
We like a list, Keith.
Yeah.
32-1. So, for instance, the Colts, doesn't get more boring than them at
not
32. In free agency, I'm scrolling here. You have the Rams at 10. Scrolling down, you have the Bears at 5. Broncos 4. Commanders 3. Bengals 2. Number 1, your New England Patriots. The most interesting team in free agency. Yahoo writes, the Patriots lead the NFL in two categories. Most cap space and most roster holes to fill. New England probably needs to sign multiple receivers and multiple offensive linemen, and they have the cap space to do just that. New England has the ability to sign anyone it wants. So I agree they have the ability, and I agree they have a lot of needs on the team. So check there. Do I trust them to spend it? Do I trust them to get it done? That's where I'm kind of in a holding pattern, and I don't think it's unfair based on their track record to question it. I also don't think it's unfair based on some of the reporting. Phil Perry was nitpicking all these free agents, and it wasn't his analysis. It was like inside analysis from the combine and the team nitpicking these free agents. Same thing with the Boston Herald, Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide. Oh, well, here's how the Patriots feel about this guy, and that guy might not be a McDaniels fit and blah, blah, blah. They have the cap space to do it. They have the needs. Are they going to actually be an interesting team next week when legal tampering starts on Monday?
I do like how they are the Dos Equis guy of the NFL right now. They are the most interesting team. Now, what does
Stay
that get you?
Thirsty, my friends.
Who knows? You could finish second in all these free agents. You get nobody. No, I don't have a lot of faith. This is like the Red Sox. It's just like the Red Sox. Now, they changed my mind a little bit this year. You know, trading for Crochet and signing Bregman, you're like, okay, things can change. But for the most part, Kraft wasn't spending money with Belichick. We know Kraft didn't spend money with Mayo. And now I think it all kind of comes down to, will Mike Vrabel make a big enough difference? Will Mike Vrabel be able to talk Kraft into spending money on these guys? Because Elliott Wolf couldn't last year. Elliott Wolf was clearly given a budget, re-signed a bunch of guys, and then went kind of, you know, bargain bin shopping after the fact. So everybody knows they have cap space. Everybody knows they could spend money. But how aggressive are they going to be? Are they, like, so afraid of what would look like a bad deal in a year or two? Plus, it's football, so it's like, how bad of a deal can it be? I mean, I guess you get into, like, the Eagles fans talking about dead cap and everything else, but I'm like, usually you can kind of maneuver around it. You're not forced to have these guys for a long time. Like, I don't know. This team is in such desperate need of an influx of talent, and they have the money to do it. They should, but am I confident that they do? No, of course not.
No, me neither. And, like, to your point, Calvin Ridley last year, people were kicking and screaming, oh, it's so much money, and how are you going to do this? A bunch of receivers are about to blow past Calvin Ridley in that contract. It's going to look much more reasonable. And the cap always goes up in the NFL, and contracts can always be maneuvered. You know, you can convert bonuses to guaranteed money and push the cap hit down the road, the dead cap hit down the road. There's a lot of different ways to do it. And so, to me, there's no excuse not to do it, but I don't have a ton of faith the Patriots are actually going to get it done. So they're the Dos Equis man. What'd you call him again?
Yeah, they're the most interesting man in the world. They're the Dos Equis of the NFL.
And again,
or Dos Equis guy.
Yeah. His tagline is "Stay thirsty, my friends." That's what it was.
And I think so.
The Crafts have left us plenty thirsty when it comes to free agency. So we'll see if they actually get it done. What's your confidence level as the most interesting team with cap space and need, where the supply should meet the demand? What's your confidence level they actually get it done? 617-779-7937. That's also your text number. How about this one, Keith?
Yeah.
Record-breaking night for the Celtics. And here you guys are talking nonstop football. Embarrassing.
We'll get there.
We will get to the Celtics later on in the program today. A record-breaking night in March against the Blazers. It was wild, though, to watch Pritchard and White go off. How significant of it or of an accomplishment is it? We can dive into that with your phone calls coming up. We'll get to the Red Sox later on in the show as well. Rob Bradford going to join us at 11:30. Garrett Crochet, monster. Woo! Yesterday. What's the ceiling for Crochet?
We got a tweet yesterday asking if he can be a third-time Hoss of the Week?
Yeah, that's...
With that kind of performance, he might be Hoss of the Week.
Rarefied air. That is just, territory that we haven't seen often in the history of this great program. But Garrett Crochet, maybe a three-time Hoss of the Week. So we'll get to the Red Sox coming up. Plus, it's a Thursday. We're going to put something on the clock at noon. It's going to be Patriots free agency. Again, legal tampering starts on Monday. Free agency in full swing on Wednesday. So our final thoughts on what the Patriots need to do in free agency. 60-second plans. We'll do those at high noon here on Jones and Keith.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots should be jumping for joy if Travis Hunter is there for them with the 4th overall pick. I mean, this guy is rare. I can't say enough great things about him. We're talking about somebody that played over 115 snaps a game on both sides of the ball. Not only that, but he had a lasting impact on both sides of the ball, in tune with 2 game plans every single week. He reminds me a lot of Champ Bailey when he was coming out of Georgia in the late 90s. You can compare him to Chris Gamble and some of these other guys that have played both ways, but as far as a lasting impact, he's been able to do that, and this is a very rare player. I would play him at cornerback first if it was up to me full-time, and then I would sprinkle him in at wide receiver, and we know Drake May definitely needs a go-to option at wide receiver, so he could be that, but also you pair him with Christian Gonzalez, you have a dynamic duo at cornerback for the future.
It's Jordan Reed yesterday on ESPN. He came out with a mock draft, Keith. Travis Hunter to the Pats at 4 overall.
Love it.
Pretty nice.
That's great.
It would be a dynamic duo, quote-unquote, at cornerback for the Patriots, Gonzalez and Travis Hunter. We'll get to the Celtics' dynamic duo. I know people are complaining about us not getting there. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. Derek White and Peyton Pritchard, both monsters last night. So some thoughts on how significant that actually is, or is it just a one-off? We'll do that again here on Jones and Keefe with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. After listening to Scheim on our mock draft Monday, and maybe it was even after, later in the day, Keith, he texted us both separately that Shedeur Sanders seems to be slipping. The whole idea of getting either Abdul Carter or more likely Travis Hunter is that Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders need to both go in the top 3 so that one of those guys are available at 4. It's pretty simple math. If Shedeur Sanders slips, the dream is dead, right? I mean, talk about the A.J. Brown dream being dead. If Shedeur Sanders is falling, the Travis Hunter dream is dead.
Or is it? Jones, I'm telling you, the draft is so strange, and another quarterback legit could emerge out of nowhere and be in the top 3. I wouldn't rule it out, honestly.
So, like, Jackson Dart would be the name. Yep. I think most people are identifying now. Milroe had a good combine.
Did you think at this time in, 2018, did you think Baker Mayfield was going to be the number 1 pick in the draft?
Nobody did.
Kyler Murray, a little bit different because that was a baseball thing, but nobody thought he was going to be the number 1 pick. Nobody thought J.J. McCarthy was going to go as high as he did last year.
Good point. Anthony Richardson a few years ago didn't go in the top 3, but I think he went 4th overall. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he went 4th. So I would say right now, I think there's a better chance that 3 quarterbacks go in the top 3 than 1. I think most likely it's 2. I'm sticking with 2.
3 go in the top 3 than 1.
Yep.
Then the Patriots are getting their choice of Abdul Carter and Travis. I mean, you want to talk about the dream.
Teams are nuts. Teams lose their minds with quarterbacks.
Well, and all these teams need quarterbacks, right? At least as of right now.
They all do.
The Titans, the Browns, the Giants all need quarterbacks.
Those 3 all need them. And then there's a couple of teams within striking distance.
Raiders and Jets.
That need them. So, supply and demand. Patriots can sit back and relax, and I think they're going to be in pretty good shape. I think one of those guys at least kind of squirts free, right? I think one of them probably will go because they are both legitimate top-end talents in Carter and Hunter, but I still all this stuff about Shedeur Sanders, fine. All this stuff about these quarterbacks, like when it's all said and done, whatever it is 50 days from now, the quarterbacks always get overdrafted, always.
Who is the number 1 quarterback in the draft for you? We haven't spent as much time talking quarterbacks because obviously the Patriots have one now. We spent a ton of time the last few years doing it, especially last year. Is Shadur the number one guy for you, or is it Cam Ward?
That's Cam Ward, but this is another one of those drafts that I don't really like anybody, and I know that's not like the boldest take because there's so many busts.
Because I do like Ward. I like Shadur. I'm not sure I'd take him, you know, in the top three, but I like Shadur and I like Ward. I don't really like many quarterbacks after that. I kind of half like Milrow.
So I like both quarterbacks more than Kenny Pickett, but I don't like either more than five of the guys from last year.
Right.
Like the top three, maybe McCarthy. I think I probably like Cam Ward and Shadur more than McCarthy, but I think I like the first three and Nicks.
Yeah,
and
you love Nicks. I would have preferred Penix.
Yeah.
Certainly to Shadur, maybe to Cam as well. I didn't like McCarthy. I didn't like Nicks. Nicks had a very good rookie year, but just talking about, you know, going into the draft, I didn't like Nicks.
No, Cam Ward was good, and so I guess I would have him as my top quarterback. After that, I don't love the guys. I went into the year thinking, like, Quinn Ewers was going to be good, and he was like, nah, for me. So, Shadur Sanders, I go kind of back and forth on. Like, I think, you know, that offense, I think Travis Hunter made him look really, 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 really good. And, you know, obviously Deion Sanders was going to try to pad his kid's stats. You saw plenty of games where, like, you know, they would keep throwing or whatever. So at the end of the game, you're like, oh, 300 yards, three touchdowns. Like, pretty good. It's like, yeah, but, you know, you watch the game.
Florio had an interesting item, and it's just a good thought exercise. Do you think Deion Sanders, and he's been very vocal about he's going to control where Shadur goes, and Shadur's not just going to play anywhere, and he said something similar about Travis Hunter as well. Do you think Deion would be okay if Shadur slipped into the 20s and went to a good landing spot, like a spot where Deion would want him to go? Or do you think he'd be mortified that his kid fell into the 20s?
No, I think he would. I mean, privately, he might be kind of mortified, but I think he would then quickly spin it like 19 teams made a mistake and, you know, his kid's going to a better spot. And he would probably know deep down that it's less of a rebuild. There probably is a better chance for him to be pretty good. So I think he would spin it in a way where it's like motivation and he's going to be great and everything else. Because what was Deion himself? Was Deion what pick was he? Fifth?
Yeah, top 10 for sure.
He was super high, but yeah. He wasn't like the number one pick. But yeah, no, I think Deion will be upset, but I think the writing on the wall now is, like, as the season was playing out, he seemed like he might be the number one pick, but really, since then, I don't think anybody has him going number one. Yeah, he was the fifth pick in 89.
Yeah, I was just looking up where he was. Was he drafted in baseball, too?
I would assume he was.
He was drafted in the sixth round.
Yeah.
And then the 30th round, but that was probably a football thing, but how about that? Yeah, fifth overall pick and drafted twice in baseball.
He's
a good athlete. I guess if you're gonna pin me down and make me answer it, I guess I'd say Deion was a good athlete. Yeah.
This is almost as bold as a lot of people are gonna watch the Super Bowl take you had a few weeks ago. Almost as bold.
Almost there.
But do you think the talk about Deion controlling where Shadur and Travis Hunter go has kind of really disappeared?
Well, it has with Hunter. I don't think it's died down with Shadur, to be honest. But with Hunter, you don't really hear that a lot now. Yeah.
Because I know Hunter said he wants to be the first pick in the draft, and it's important to him to be the first pick in the draft. And so if he goes to Tennessee, I don't see Deion swooping in. Like, I'm curious, like, what teams would Deion not want Shadur to go to? Like Cleveland?
That would be high on my personal list. I honestly wouldn't feel I wouldn't feel great about Tennessee. If I were Deion, the Giants I think would be a decent spot. I don't know how he feels about the I wouldn't want him to go to the Jets. Would you want your kid on the Jets? I wouldn't want that.
No. No, you so, wouldn't. Depending on how those guys view New York in general, but like, yeah.
Right, but you have your choice between the New York teams. They both need a quarterback. I would rather have my kid on the Giants than the Jets.
Yeah. Although, does Deion have any kind of relationship with Aaron Glenn? I don't know.
I don't know. Good question. So the idea and the only reason we're talking these quarterbacks is it's important where they go. You need them to go in the top three if you want one of Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. Jordan Reed in his mock draft had the Patriots selecting Travis Hunter, and he said on SportsCenter, they should sprint to the podium and take Travis Hunter if he's there at four. That's a dream scenario. If Shadur slides, that dream is dead.
I agree that Travis Hunter is the dream scenario for me. That's who I would want at four. And it's funny, he brought up the Champ Bailey comp, one of Wiggy's former teammates at Georgia. And it's funny because after the combine, a lot of people were talking about Travis Hunter's size, you know, height and weight, and whether he was bigger, smaller, or what they expected. And so he ended up being just over 6 feet tall, and
180 something,
pounds.
Yeah.
188.
Oh, that high. Okay.
Yeah, 188. And so I looked up Champ Bailey, who between the combine and the pro day, they have his pre-draft measurables. He was 5'11 and 3/4, so slightly shorter than Travis Hunter, and he weighed in at 184. So close, but shorter and lighter than Travis Hunter. And Champ Bailey is one of the greatest cornerbacks I've ever seen in my entire life. So I think you could be that size and at least play one way very, very successfully. Now, I don't think he can play 115 snaps every game, but I think he can play a bunch.
This is why I don't get why people don't like Travis Hunter. You and I both do. I think at minimum, like, he's safe and a grand slam pick all at the same time. He's safe but also has a ton of upside. You know he's a corner. At least I feel strongly he's a corner. And if he can give you anything at wide receiver, moonlight at it, like Reed was saying, playing 115 snaps a game like he did at Colorado, then you have all this crazy upside. So to me, I don't get the hesitation with drafting
him. And it's the positions, right? Like, they are two.
Those
of
are two
the
premium positions.
Two of the four or maybe five most important positions in football. All due respect to Miles Jack, it's not like drafting guys like, well, he can play linebacker and running back. You're like, that's cool. That's awesome. I like Miles Jack. But playing corner and wideout, like, everybody needs another corner. Everybody needs another wideout, and he might be able to do both of them at a really high level.
So do we have some clarity on the draft? If Shedeur Sanders is sliding, that means you'll miss out on Hunter and Abdul Carter. Who are you picking? Which direction should they go? You can jump in on that. With all our free agency thoughts, I'll reset here. Diana Russini says it's going to take a first and a third to get DK Metcalf. Josina Anderson says it's going to take a third, or teams are offering third-round picks, rather, to get DK Metcalf. So maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. Let's call it a second-rounder. Patriots have pick 38. Would you do that for Metcalf and other free agency buzz? Yahoo labeled the Patriots the most interesting team in free agency. Do you trust them to be an interesting team? Do you trust them to get things done? Let's go to the phones. Russ is in Springfield. Hello, Russ.
Hey, so quick trade idea, guys. Ready? You're the GM of the Seahawks. The Patriots offer you the 4th overall pick for DK Metcalf and their 18th pick. Are you taking that?
Okay, we actually already talked about this. Yes.
I do that. Yeah, trading down 14 spots, so you're still in the first round. There still could be a tackle there. You could always trade up, too, if you added some other things. But even just picking at 18, but I have a number one wide receiver, yeah, you're not really losing any picks. You're just moving down, and you're getting Metcalf. I 100% do that. I think Seattle might do that.
Yeah, they move up 14 places. They're going to ship out DK Metcalf. Like, that's done. Are they going to do better than moving up 14 spots in the first round? I doubt it.
Because think about that. If you just took, not to pull out the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, but if you just took 18 to move up to 4, all what that would take. And if you're like, hey, but we got DK Metcalf here. Like, I think it pretty much balances out.
So, look, I would do that too. And I feel like that would borderline be a no-brainer. You drop 14 spots and you have a number one. What I feel is a number one receiver in DK Metcalf, yeah, I'd do it. Barry is in New Bedford. Hello, Barry.
Hi, guys. No. Listen, I get talking turkey with Ayuk, who's 2 years younger and is already under a big contract.
Okay, Barry.
And he's a better overall receiver.
Okay, he might be. He's also hurt. Barry, he's also hurt.
I understand that. Here's the thing with Metcalf.
that's a big thing, though. Yeah.
Metcalf. First off, he has said this on social media. He has said this on radio. He has said this on TV. He doesn't want to come here.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. Garnett didn't want to come here.
I don't care. But you don't trade assets away for a guy who doesn't want to be here. This is my point. You want Godwin. You want Ayuk. It makes sense.
Okay.
By the way, Metcalf
Barry, hang on. Barry, on Ayuk, hang on for a second.
Do you think Ayuk wants to be here?
Yeah, exactly. Ayuk had the opportunity to come here last year. The Patriots had the most money on the table. He didn't necessarily want to come here. Why are you so sold he wants to come here?
That's what he wants to come here. He's under contract.
So is Metcalf.
He's a free agent after next year.
Yeah, but Metcalf is under contract right now.
Season,
and you're going to pay him.
Oh, my God. By the way, Seattle doesn't really want to trade him. They're going to have to trade him. The reason for the 1-3 is to, one, you basically show you value him. And the second of all is you try to get a contract. And if you cannot, then you take the best offer.
So there's so much wrong in this phone call. Who does Barry like, by the way? Barry hates Travis Hunter,
Brandon
too, right?
Ayuk, I think.
Well, that's a good point. He likes Ayuk. But, like,
yes.
So he sounds like the Patriots. He wants to add talent, but he doesn't like anybody. So what the hell are you supposed to do? But
I'm also not sure how much of a lock Ayuk over Metcalf is, but whatever.
I was willing to give him that one. But, again, to me, the tiebreaker would be a healthy Ayuk might be better than Metcalf. Fine. It's close, but fine. He's hurt. But also, the idea that Seattle doesn't want to trade Metcalf? No. They don't want to pay Metcalf, you know? So they don't want to pay him. He wants a contract. They're going to trade him. That's done. I mean, I think that's done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and most of the time you get these public trade demands from star players. I'm not talking about like N'Keal Harry. I'm talking about like star players demanding a trade, especially when their contract's just about to come up. It happens more often than not. And they're also in a weird situation where, not a weird situation, but a, like they have a number one receiver, or at least a potential one, right? Jaxon Smith-Njigba is not, I don't think, a number one today, but he could maybe next year be, or maybe the year after that he could be.
He was, again, I followed this closely because I had my my anti-JSN bet last year, but he was pretty good down the stretch, and I think there was a changing of the guard there.
Right,
and
so they could turn it over to him. It's not like they trade DK Metcalf and their receiver room looks like the Patriots.
Right.
Like, they have somebody.
It's not A.J. Brown to Treylon Burks.
It is not.
Have an answer in the room. 617-779-7937. We'll get to the Red Sox at 11 o'clock. Rob Bradford going to join us 11:30 for a check-in from Red Sox spring training. Big day for potential three-time Hoss of the Week, Garrett Crochet, yesterday down in Florida. We also will talk Jones and Keith Brackett coming up at 11:45. We'll start unveiling the matchups. We'll reveal the bracket later today as we've gone through and seeded everything. So that's next hour. Plus, people are clamoring for Peyton Pritchard and Derek White talk. We'll get to the Celtics night next.
Peyton Pritchard is the reason why the Celtics are going to be so hard to beat for the title. Not necessarily because of what he does, but because they can have a sixth man who's scary and potent enough, and most importantly, confident enough. Peyton Pritchard is a demonstration of the Joe Mazzulla system. When Joe Mazzulla became the head coach, Peyton Pritchard was barely playing. His confidence was shaken. And Joe Mazzulla said, guys, I don't care if you're 0 for 10, keep shooting threes. And they have a situation where they can have an off night. Tatum is out this game. Porzingis is out this game. They get 19 threes between these two guys.
I'm being told this is Iron Maiden, Keith.
There it is. This is Iron Maiden. And that was our Horst of the Week. No? Terrible. I'll take the rest of the day. Terrible.
Well, he's honestly, I know he's trimmed down a touch, but he's honestly a candidate for Hoss of the Week.
Every week he is.
Yeah.
Every week he is. I actually kind of like him now.
Me too.
We talked about this on the air. I couldn't stand him because obviously he was like LeBron's.
LeBron's wrong.
Yeah, he was LeBron's water boy.
Yeah.
That's
the show's goat, just FYI. So be careful how you talk
about
him. But yeah.
I don't know, my goat.
I didn't say your goat. I said the show's goat.
He sort of morphed into a pretty compelling character. He's very memeable.
No, I mean, it shows you how much we hated LeBron back in the day, that like I thought Spoelstra stunk. I thought Windhorst stunk.
Trash.
And now it's like they get a little separated from LeBron, a little bit.
Yeah,
and Spoelstra's the best coach in the NBA. Wiggy, I'm sorry. And Windhorst actually like kind of he's a good reporter. Do you agree with that though, that the key for the Celtics and going on a run is guys like Peyton Pritchard?
No, I don't think that that's the reason they're going to win, but I do kind of get his point, and I felt this way last year. It wasn't Pritchard, but like Tatum and Brown are the two guys that you feel like are going to win or lose based off of Tatum and Brown. I don't think we need to overthink it. It comes down to the best players, but they have more room for error than other teams that rely on two guys, because you can't expect 43 points from Peyton Pritchard, but he's capable. Sam Hauser had a playoff game. Was it a playoff game or a regular season game that he hit like 10 threes? So it's like,
I think that was regular season.
It was like, regular season. But like, so he's capable of it. Like, you never rely on it, but you're like, man, teams have to do all they can to slow down Tatum and Brown. And then Derek White goes crazy, or Porzingis goes crazy. Horford, remember, he had a couple playoff games where he couldn't miss. So they have enough other guys that I think can kind of carry the slack for a game if Tatum and Brown are struggling. So, like, I think he's kind of overstating it, but I get his point.
Me too. And so last night was unreal. First of all, we got Mike Tirico for some reason. I kind of forgot about that.
That was strange. Yeah, they announced that last week. They're like, coming up on Wednesday, Tirico. I was like, okay.
I had seen it in the news, but I just forgot about it until I flipped on the game last night. So I'm like, it's Tirico. And you could just imagine the pants peeing that Scal and Drew would have been doing if those two guys were going nuts on NBC Sport, like Tirico's pretty down the middle. So you could imagine just the histrionics of those two were
Carter
on the broadcast last
his
night.
Shirt off and ran on the court like a streaker. We'd be like, all right, everybody, get back.
So it's a good night for Tirico, if you ask me.
Yeah,
that aside, Derek White goes for 41. Peyton Pritchard goes for 43. It's the first time in Celtics history. Think of all the duos. The first time in Celtics history they've had two guys in the same game go for 40-plus. It's the first time in NBA history. Any time in NBA history, two guys have hit 9 threes in the same game, 10 for Pritchard, 9 for White. It was unreal. I'm not sure what it means. I definitely wouldn't go as far as Brian Windhorst did there this morning on Get Up. But it was fun to watch, and it does speak to the depth the Celtics have and the shooting they have.
So I never would have guessed that stat, that nobody in Celtics history had a dual 40 game. If you didn't know the answer to that and you had to guess who did, my guess automatically would have been Pierce and Antoine Walker.
Interesting.
I would have said Pierce and Antoine, whether it was one of their good years or bad years, they would have both.
A lot of people would have said like Bird and McHale. Because didn't they go, what was the story with Bird and McHale? I'm sure we'll see it in like six episodes on Celtic City. But what was the thing where like McHale set the Celtics scoring record and then like a couple nights later, Bird's like, yeah, I'm going to pass it.
Yeah.
So like they both went for 50 plus in a short period. I bet a lot of people would guess those two.
So that's a great guess too, just because Bird was constantly putting up big numbers like that. So like Bird and somebody. Because I probably wouldn't have gone old school because like Russell was more likely to get you like 25 points, 25 boards.
Correct.
Than he was 40 points. I wouldn't have guessed any of the old guys. I would have guessed, Bird, McHale, Pierce, Antoine, maybe like Pierce, Ray Allen, even though those guys didn't score a lot of points.
No,
they weren't really a great defensive
team. It definitely wouldn't be Pierce and KG, but Pierce and Allen would have been a sneaky good guess.
Or
no,
like
it turns out it's Pritchard and White.
Even like Isaiah Thomas and somebody fell into it. You know, because he was one of the leading scorers that year, Isaiah was.
Well,
but
he had a bunch of 40-point games. Who else would have gone off on those teams? Jay Crowder? Avery Bradley?
Yeah, no, maybe not. Well, maybe like
Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, no, probably not, nobody. But like Tatum and Brown, they've had multiple 30-point games together. You would have thought Brown
actually
and Tatum.
Didn't they almost do it in the Cavs game? They had to have been close in that Cavs game. Was it like 40?
46 and 37,
I think it was.
Thank you.
So like,
jeez.
They
so
were close.
Super close.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean that would have been an easy first guess too, but I love that that's the, you know, we were talking about trivia questions earlier in the week. What a great one. Derek White and Peyton Pritchard. Insane. Like it would have taken you, they're not even the most common guys to do it on this team. They're not even one of like the first eight combinations I would have thought of on this team.
I'm just going to tell you, if Windhorst is right and Peyton Pritchard's the key to winning another title, the Celtics are screwed. Like if he's right about that, and you're not, Tatum is so off, you need Peyton Pritchard to rescue you. Like, Tatum already got rescued by Jaylen Brown a year ago. Already got bailed out by Jaylen. If he needs to get bailed out by Pritchard to go back-to-back, that's a bad sign. They're not winning again. And I get what Windhorst is saying. He's talking about, like, on a night here or a night there, they have the depth to shoot their way out of it. Like, this is why Tatum doesn't win MVPs and people don't view him as the face of the league. Because he has too much help. Like, he has so much help, he doesn't need to show up every night. That's what I mean. Not too much help, like, it's a bad thing. But if he doesn't show up for a certain night, like, literally last night he wasn't in the lineup, the Celtics can set records and still win.
Yeah, there's also a difference between having a guy, like, off the bench score 40 versus a guy coming off the bench and hitting a big shot.
Correct.
Because, you know, Jordan had Steve Kerr and John Paxson. Robert Horry helped out a million Hall of Famers in his career. James Jones, he was a big shot maker, so there is that. Like, all great teams have that.
Yeah,
right?
That's
like
fine.
Jordan, LeBron, all those guys have those guys. But yeah, getting 84 points from Derek White and Pritchard. Now, again, if Tatum plays, just the nature of the game, there's no chance those guys get 80 points. So he wasn't even in the game, but still, like it is pretty remarkable.
Tatum claims he's underappreciated. Then the team goes out and wins without him and sets records. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. We're getting a lot of blowback, Keith.
Wait, what?
On both Twitter and Instagram. Apparently, we were very mean to Barry. People are like, Barry's making more sense than you two about DK Metcalf. We're being told we're getting an Ordway tweet thrown in our face, Keith. Guys, Ordway even gets it. You don't.
What did Ordway say?
It makes no sense for the Patriots to give up a 1 and a 3 for DK Metcalf, which we said. The Patriots.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up a 1.
Well, I would give up a 1 in a vacuum for DK Metcalf. I wouldn't give up the number 4 pick.
Oh, yeah.
Plus a third for DK. So we actually agree with that tweet. I don't get why we're getting blowback on that one.
Did he at us? Was he saying, was he?
No. Somebody
us?
Added
oh,
us
he was
about,
just saying
about
in general.
Ordway. Yes.
He was mixing it in with his political tweets.
Probably. So, I'm not trading 4 for Metcalf, but like, Keith's idea, and a caller brought this up as well. Would you swap Seattle's 1? And drop 18. Down to 18, and then they would move up to 4, and you'd get Metcalf, something like that. I'd trade 38 for him. So he's available. What would you do? You could jump in on the Celtics as well. Last night was cool. What does it actually mean for the Celtics? We can debate that, and whether or not it's a good sign for Jason Tatum. Plus, the Red Sox, spring training yesterday. Garrett Crochet, and by the way, it's not just yesterday for Crochet. He's been awesome all spring. Yeah. What's his ceiling for this Red Sox team? We'll get to that. Rob Bradford on tap as well at 11:30. Stay tuned.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.